Today, there's so much in our lives that influences us, our environment, the people around us. Sometimes, we don't even know what's influencing us. And that's what we're here to talk about. Welcome to the Influence Today podcast with Chet Tart and Terry Lyle.
Welcome to another episode of Influence Today with Chet Tart and Terry Lyle. In very strange times. Normally, we broadcast live from Venture X on PGA Boulevard, and today we're all in separate locations. And Terry, how are you doing?
I'm good in my location. I hope you're safe and good in your location. This is the way the world works. Yeah, I just got off a webinar earlier, and we're all somewhere hunkered down in rooms and closets and wherever we can be with kids running around and moms and dads, and, you know, but it's fun. We'll make it work.
We'll make it work. I want to bring back Alex Cook, because Alex runs Optimist Capital. We talked to him just before this event happened, and we were talking about what's going on with the investments, what's going on with the marketplace. But I think, Alex, you would probably have a lot to offer. Welcome, Alex Cook, founder, chief investment officer for Optimist Capital here in PGA and on PGA Boulevard in Palm Beach Gardens. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing well, considering. You know, thanks for having me again. I too am locked up a bit here, but I feel far worse for my wife because she has to figure out how to keep kids entertained, and I know she's pulling her hair out already.
Yep.
Oh, I bet. I bet. What are the biggest questions you're getting in this environment?
Well, so we do put out a lot of research and news, as some people are aware, and a lot of our stuff has been saying that, you know, we've seen some problems on the horizon, and we've bought into the big dips, but yet we were uncomfortable with things going forward. So the biggest question really has been, do you see a turnaround immediately? Do you see things going back to normal anytime soon? Or, you know, do you see the market leveling off or going higher? And to be honest with you, and I'm sure people aren't going to really like this answer, we have seen a counter trend rally here. So today the market is up. But unfortunately, unemployment numbers are getting big, and they're getting bigger on a weekly basis. And they're getting substantially larger than what people think and what people expect. Consequently, we haven't really seen that really affect companies on an individual basis yet, because their numbers are always past-looking. And so the ones even reporting now are not affected. Those numbers are not affected to the degree that they will be in coming months. Consequently, even as we release employment numbers that are massive to the point of depression level, we're seeing the market go slightly higher at this point above that massive drop back around mid-March. The problem is that the market's really operating on technicals at this moment, and algorithmic traders have set in. Those are computers that are basically triggering trades at certain levels. Some institutions are pushing in, and we pushed in when things were at the bottom to get a little boost. But as my colleague likes to say, the first leg down, which was the one we saw in March, usually gives you some sort of a opportunity, a get out of free jail card is the way he puts it. And that's what we're looking at right now, which is the counter trend. And we did buy into this to get a little extra boost, but just so I get full disclosure, we went almost 50% cash over the last couple market days, and that is a massive cash holding for us. We typically do not cross 30-35% before we go into cash and cash equivalents, and that is because we do see a much deeper leg down coming.
Alex, you know, you said something, it was one of my questions. You know, what is the percentage of liquidity that someone as a business owner, operator needs to really, and I think you just answered it, because if you guys did it, probably others will follow. And that was one of my top questions, is because I hear people, you know, all the time when I'm talking and consulting, and, you know, everybody's just trying to figure out, you know, where the bottom is going to be. And even though the stock market is high, that's infusion from government capital that goes into the marketplace. That's great, but that's like a tourniquet. That's not going to last long. And I think that scares people.
It's a Band-Aid.
Yes, on a gunshot wound.
Right. The stimulus is not going to solve the inherent problems that exist and, in fact, creates a much bigger problem on the other side of this. The coronavirus is not what worries me. You know, we'll get over it. It's going to be rough and it's going to be tough for a lot of people, and all of us are going to feel the effects of it. But we'll get past it. The problem is on the other side of it, we now have a massive deficit bomb waiting to go off when interest rates go up. And it's only going to get bigger because there's going to be another maybe two stimulus deals that happen. And those are literally issuances of debt. When the rates go up, those issuance of debt become very expensive. And there's not many solutions to fix that other than raising taxes and the Fed pulling out all the stops. And they've pretty much done everything they can at this point. So I'm not really sure what else they can pull out of their hats.
You must have been talking to a lot of people on Wall Street. Is anyone seeing this as a big recession? And is 2020 a wipeout?
So the IMF actually just released over the last 24 hours an article stating that this is going to be a depression-level event for the global economy. Potential drops in global growth to the point of 3%. Now, I know that that sounds like a small number, but we're talking 3% of the whole world reverting back. That's a very large amount of assets.
Yeah, and that brings up, you know, I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, and we were chatting, and he just retired from a company and did very well for himself. And the conversation went toward, you know, what is your IRA doing? I mean, what are you vested in? I mean, Chet and I had a conversation this week of a well-known restaurant chain that just filed bankruptcy, and they're probably not ever going to come back. I mean, if you're vested in companies like that, as an example, you just lost a chunk of your investment that's in your IRA. And I get fearful that people don't look at what they're vested in, you know? And I would think that you and your firm educate your people on, hey, we can't tell you what to do with your money, but we're going to advise you because you have to start forecasting. And I think that's the challenge. So to me, the stress for you guys is like, what is the forecast going to be? Not on a global scale, but like in our stock market and how people can be secured within their retirement accounts.
Well, so it's not all doom and gloom. Because remember, even in the worst scenarios, there will be a point where it will turn around. And I believe I said in the last time, the best time to buy is when there's absolute fear, the greatest moment of fear. We don't have the greatest moment of fear right now. We have people starting to get a little undue emotional happiness that probably shouldn't be there considering all the news coming out every day. So the people that sit and hold, it's going to be bloody for them, but as long as they don't sell, at some point they will recoup and they will do okay. The toughest spot is for people that are going to need their money tomorrow, that didn't actually plan for this and didn't prepare for things to come. Now, from our standpoint, we are probably seeing another, like I said, another big leg down, which would probably be worse than the one we just saw in March. Again, we would buy into that just like we did with this last one. And that would give us an opportunity to ride that up and test to see if there's strength there, if the market's returning. If not, we would again sell out. I mean, basically, we just started seeing the weakness in the volume and the market, and we just didn't see the strength there to keep going. And when you're asking again back to the percentage of assets and things like that, that 50% mark that I put out there, that's more because we do see the likelihood of a further drop, and yet we also want to have a lot of cash on the side to buy more when that happens. It's kind of a, you know, two-sided deal there, and it also gave us the opportunity to take some profits and put ourselves into decent positions. So, you know, for the year to date, we're not really down that much, if at all, in some cases. And over the inception, about 95% of our clients are up at this point, with, you know, only a few dipping below certain levels and not very far. So overall markets to date right now are still down around 13 to 17%, and we're seeing about 6-7% in total year to date, so about half the overall market. But regardless of that, we on the turnaround side, it'll give us an opportunity to sweep that away too. So, you know, the person just sitting and holding, they will probably do okay in the end, because over time the market typically does 2-year drops, 8 years of growth, and over a 10-year window it makes somewhere between 8 and 10%. So they will probably do fine. What they say is active management, what we do, typically benefits from scenarios like this, which is true, because we're able to pull out when we're worried and we're able to go back in when we're prepared for the next turnaround. So theoretically we get the boosts of not being not riding it down as much and not overpowering it into the fear factor.
You know, when this is over, Alex, there's going to be a lot of changes in our lives, including new innovations. I was curious what you're seeing there about what to invest in the future. Who is going to come back strong? You know, the obvious ones are Amazon or maybe Johnson & Johnson, but is there anything out there that you're seeing that is going to be on the horizon that will produce a new millionaire?
So, yeah, there are definitely some unique stuff happening. You know, right now, from a safety standpoint, your best bets are always, like you just said, your Johnson & Johnsons, things like that, that are very secure companies that literally can ride out pretty much anything, and they'll do okay. So, you know, those are things that you want to hold through this. Are there going to be things that are really reaping the benefit? Yeah, there's a few. Right off the top of my head, Teladoc, which has been one of the doctor systems that you can, they can go on your screen and talk you through stuff and check you out remotely. That has seen a huge run up in the interim. DocuSign makes a whole lot of sense going forward, because DocuSign basically replaces you having to show up for every major signature situation in person to do a document with a real estate purchase, a lawyer, or anything along those lines. DocuSign replacing that is going to reap the benefits of this, and it will. There's quite a few little sector items like that that will pop up. Obviously, Amazon is going to reap the benefit, but we did actually just sell a small portion of Amazon within the last 24 hours because it hit new 52-week highs, and it will pull back a little bit, and then we'll probably buy right back into it. But regardless, Amazon's one that's going to definitely reap the benefit of this. Aside from them, it's going to basically be anything that allows for remote business. Now, I know people are going to ask me about Zoom. I'm actually anti-Zoom, because for a personal standpoint, it's great, but Zoom is not secure. It doesn't have point-to-point end protection. So in other words, there is no security on each end of it, which means hackers can get into it, and we've already heard of Zoom bombing, things like that, where people bust into Zoom conference calls, but there's other dangers to that. So I don't really like a company like that just for that purposes. I think they'll do fine with the public, but at the end of the day, to really profit, they have to do well with business. And the one that's really doing well on that side is Microsoft with their Teams.
Right.
And then the one right behind them is Slack. So Slack is another one that'll reap the benefit, but Slack in the long run is probably going to get bought out by someone, because they're a smaller company, and or Microsoft Teams crushes them. I mean, that's plausible too. But in any case, those are more secure systems, and those are the ones that I look at and I use. In fact, I cannot use Zoom from my office, because I have a secure network in here, and I can't open up any portals that could risk a hole into my router for anyone to come in here.
That's what I heard, that people are going to Microsoft Teams more. There are companies, real estate companies, don't allow Zoom at all. Speaking of real estate, how do you think is it going to affect real estate, commercial, residential, and construction?
Okay, so that's that one we've already seen happen. It's already starting to play out. JP Morgan Chase in the last 2 to 3 days just stated point blank they are raising the standards for mortgages. And the math on that has come out that basically 20% of potential buyers are now just taken off the table. That could create a substantial change in real estate pricing going forward. As far as us down here, we're never going to be hit as hard because the tax advantages of living here, along with some other benefits, are always going to keep the property values going forward in a better situation, even if they come down a little bit. And, you know, as we come around from getting past these situations, I think you find that more Northeasters and people from other parts will continue to move down here, probably in larger amounts, because, you know, being quarantined in a warmer place is a lot more fun than being quarantined in a place where it's rainy or snowy and freezing cold outside.
That's for sure. I've also heard, I don't know if you have, that there are major companies in New York looking to get out of New York and move down here for a lot of reasons. And one is because New York is a hotbed. There's so many people there. They're fearful that this can return again because the bulk of that population. Have you heard anything from the people you're talking with?
Oh, yes. So this is a funny little side note. The Ritz-Carlton down in Palm Beach, which is actually closed, one whole floor has been converted into a trading floor for one of the major hedge funds out of the Northeast who bailed out of New York. And
I saw that. I thought, wow, well, that's convenient. It's like you just stay there and sleep in a 5-star hotel and you're good.
Yep. Well, so what they did is they closed it, but they took over the whole floor there. So the hotel is closed, and this is kind of like a sort of openly known secret, but they're operational over there. And it's interesting because they brought their whole trading team down, and that suggests to me ultimately more permanence, which means they will probably move their whole trading floor here permanently.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, and this is, you know, Chet and I talk about this a lot with different people that we interview and we talk to and talk to ourselves and each other. And, you know, there's going to be a life after Corona, but it's going to be different. And that different is not bad. It's just if we're not willing to navigate and adjust and adapt quickly, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be offset by this. I just heard of, like I said earlier, an executive just got let go from a company at a VP level. I mean, it happens quickly. And you look up and go, I don't have a job because I just became superfluous to my own company for whatever reason. You know what I mean? So there's always those changes that are there. But I think the financial side is really interesting, you know, because people look at the economy and, you know, the stock market and see things that are going on. But at the end of the day, most of us look at our own personal finances. I mean, really? I mean, that's what we're looking at. So what do you have on any tips that we could do as, you know, neighbors that are invested, you know, that could get ahead of this curve? I mean, what do you see as trends? Is it real estate? Is it, and there's a lot of business owners that listen to our show that are looking at either diversifying or trying to stay alive or both.
Well, real estate, there's going to be a buying opportunity for real estate for sure. Real estate tends to trail a little bit, especially on the private real estate side. The commercial side's going to take its hit and probably try and ride this out. But on the private side, you know, people tend to stick to what they think their house is worth.
Mm-hmm.
Investors trying to buy rental properties and things like that, there will become an opportunity for that, but it's going to be a lagging item. In other words, probably 6 to 9 months down the road, I suspect there's probably going to be a good real estate opportunity to buy if you can afford to in the middle of the middle of the winter, so January, February of 2021. But as far as like immediate stuff to get in front of it, well, on market side, I would say that even though we're seeing markets going up right now, I would tell people if they can take this opportunity to really look at what you have and think about, selling out a few things to, you know, ease up your risk profile. You don't have to sell everything, and we never sell everything because you always want core holdings and you always want to collect dividends when you can. But you want to take a real hard look and decide whether you have an emotional attachment to an investment, because that's a real problem. You have to look at it unemotionally and say, you know what, I just don't think this company is going to do well going forward. And then you have to just decide to let it go. And the time to do it is when we have this, you know, calm before the storm, or I would say actually we're more like in the eye of the storm. And this is an opportunity to take a serious look and lighten your load and then decide, you know what, I don't want to get rid of this company because I feel like they're going to be around for me. You know, that's going to be your Johnson & Johnson's, like you brought up before. They're going to be around. But there's definitely going to be some businesses that really suffer. I mean, the biggest risk push that people have put on me recently is the Carnival cruise lines.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I can't imagine.
What is it? Royal Caribbean.
Right.
Now, those stocks are all over the place, and I won't go near them because I can't quantify their real risk at this moment. And to be honest with you, I think they're going to get slashed in half before this is all over, because they are already reporting numbers that are negative. And when they report all their numbers and lawsuits and other things that happen, they're not going to be able to sustain their dividends. And when they remove a dividend, you watch how fast those stocks plummet. Because a company that's been based on dividend payout for years, when they yank their dividend, it's like the sky is falling scenario.
Hey, before you leave, can I do a little lightning round with you? A meaning great, B meaning good, C meaning stay away. I just want to mention some businesses and tell me what you think about them as you move forward. Automobiles.
For now, I would stay away. They haven't. Their numbers have not really hit yet. They're beaten down, but it's just, we don't know how bad they're going to be beaten down, and I suspect we're still about 6 months away from the real numbers behind how they're doing.
Okay, telecommunications.
I would actually look at telecommunications. AT&T is still paying its dividend and doing quite well. Verizon is still holding strong. Any of these ones that have devices that, you know, you're going to still continue to use and are allowing you to continue to operate. I mean, cell phones are a godsend. So,
yeah,
I think that those are great companies. Those are items that you should probably think about holding on to, or if you get the opportunity, they're up a bit right now. So I'm not telling people to buy things. I'm telling you to wait.
Right. I'm just
saying. If you have them, don't sell them.
Mm-hmm. How about healthcare equipment?
So that's a tricky one, because it's a very unstable situation, and you have actually the automobile companies producing healthcare equipment. You have all these other companies starting to produce healthcare equipment. The providers that were in the core and make really key items to this situation, they will probably do fairly well. You're going to have to really pick and choose, because not everything's going to reap the benefit of the coronavirus. I mean, if you really go into healthcare, you're better off looking at the biomedicals that are working on vaccines and treatments. So your Gileads, your some of the other pharmaceutical guys on the side, Merck, Pfizer, things like that. Those will be good companies to buy into.
How about utilities like water, electric, and things like that?
So normally, in a normal situation, I would say utilities are always decent to have. The problem is utilities are too affected by interest rates, and they also have restrictions on what kind of prices they can charge to customers. They can't, you know, just raise things at will. And with the interest rate situation being a little bit dangerous, you don't want to get into an investment that could get itself into a tough spot with an interest situation. So rising rates means more, you know, more cost in debt, and utilities typically pay on a lot of debt. So they could end up getting beaten down a little bit more.
Do you think that airlines, entertainment, and hotels will come back in 2021?
No, those are longer down the road. Those are 2-year items. And the hotels are going to be very different. Your big companies, they'll survive just like anyone else, but they'll be very, very different. So your Hilton and Starwood properties are going to probably be very different companies going forward. They will probably have to pull their dividends. And that, like I said before, is when you see a plummet in their price. So I wouldn't, if you're looking for deep discount buying, once they yank their dividends and they really get smashed to the bottom, it wouldn't be a bad idea to pick up some going forward to, but I would tell you don't look at it. Just buy a small piece and put it in the corner and ignore it, because those companies will be around. The entertainment side, so Las
Netflix,
Vegas,
Disney, things like that.
Okay, so those I consider actually very different from this.
Okay.
So let's just the Las Vegas side real quick. Las Vegas is probably going to be in a tough situation for quite some while here, because Las Vegas could be an area where the virus could explode all over again without treatments or vaccines. So that kind of stuff, that kind of entertainment, is really going to have a really rough go of it. You know, your Wynn casinos, things like that. Now, what you're talking about with Disney, okay? So Disney and Netflix. Netflix is reaping the benefit of this because they're getting more subscribers. And they were on a trend where they probably were going to start heading down, but this situation gave them a boost. Disney, I'm a buyer of Disney. And I'm a buyer of Disney every time Disney gets a little bit of a shock to its system. And the reason for that is, at the end of the day, Disney's parks are not where the money is. Disney's money is in their movies, their Disney Plus, ESPN, their contracts with Hulu, ABC, all this stuff where they put out all their merchandising and advertising, movies, etc. And they own all of that now because they broke free of Netflix. So with Disney Plus, anytime people ask me why I buy Disney, I say I'm buying it on the basis of Disney Plus. Disney Plus had 10 million subscribers on day one. Netflix had nothing like that. It took them years to hit numbers like that. And the reason that is because Disney has a catalog that is so controlled and so massive that they can keep producing entertainment and keep people there for years to come. And they also, they own Star Wars, Marvel. They own all these things that people clamor to go see. They're a no-brainer. Ignore the parks. Yeah, the parks are shut down. It's tough, and it's gonna hurt their books a little bit. But in the grand scheme of things, the parks weren't where their growth was anyway.
Thus, that's why they bought into these other vernaculars, because, good for them. They just saw we need to diversify. And, I think that's a great comment. When you look at a business, how diversified is the business that you're invested in? How many verticals does it have to generate capital?
Right.
Alex, this has been an eye-opener, and I appreciate
stuff,
the time.
Man.
Information. Is there any one thing that you want to leave us with? And with talking to people, what is the average somebody is down at this particular point?
It's a wide margin. So if you rode the market, so you didn't buy or sell and you were just an index owner, your average down would probably be in the 12 to 15% range year to date. Inception wise, I can't even give guesses because that all depends on when people go in. But obviously, if they went in at tougher times, they could be lower or higher. But year to date, typically 12 to 15% right now. Some people are in better situation, but the majority are 12 to 15. And somebody in a standard what the old 60-40, which is the stocks and bonds, they're down about 11%, but don't consider that a safe scenario because bonds are one of the most dangerous investments when you have zero interest rates and are basically all bonds are trading as if they have no risk premium.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. This has been fascinating. Terry, one last question?
No, I'm good, man. Alex, great stuff. I mean, we could talk to you all day and pick your brain, right. And you know, but I mean, how do people get a hold of you, Alex? I mean, you gave us great information, so let's push people to you that have the same kind of questions we have.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm always happy to talk to people and tell them what's going on, give our research. We don't, you know, we put everything out for free. We're happy to do it. So you can reach me at my office anytime, 561-771-8077, or our website, which is optimistcap.com. So that's OPTIMISTCAP.com. And I believe my email address is on there, mm-hmm. And there's a contact system too.
Great.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it, and I appreciate being a guest today. It's very informative, and it was incredibly helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Chet, and thank you, Terry. It was great being on again.
You're welcome. We'll look back after this is over and said, you know, we told you so. You know, we'll get through this. You know, there's going to be investment days ahead. We're going to get through this.
Yeah, I could talk to you.
It's going to be better. It's going to get better. It's not permanent doom and gloom.
No.
It's just, you know,
transition.
Especially with investments, you have to take the emotion out of it and look at it, what's in your best interest. And that's the answer.
Good advice.
You've been listening to another edition of Influence Today, and man, are we influenced. Thank you for listening. And if you like the show, please hit like, please share it with other people. And I think this show is one that you really need to share. Thank you.
Thank you.